I want to encourage you today to pray for our country. We just went through another mass shooting. It's tragic, unthinkable, at some levels unexplainable, and evidence of the fact that we need God to come in and guide us, that we might find solutions to these massive social problems that are more than ever, it seems, haunting our nation. I want to encourage you, please pray. Our country needs prayer. Those families need prayer. Hard decisions need to be made. Some people that are holding on what they believe to be their rights need to consider what that might mean when it comes to this issue of keeping our children safe. It made me think about a movie. I think the movie's called A Few Good Men. It has, you know, well-known stars in it. And it's a story about a couple Marines. And the emphasis is that these Marines are supposed to live by a code, and the code is duty, honor, country. That's actually the code of the United States Military Academy that began clear back at the end of the 19th century. And the idea of a code is that it is an agreed-upon set of values that everyone that's part of that organization, in that case, the military, is willing to not only commit to, but willing to invest in, to live by, as guiding lights into their own future. And I think one of the issues that we need to come to grips with in our lives is the degree to which we have clearly articulated values in our own lives that we are willing to live to, invest in, make serious commitments in order that they come true. And make sure that those values represent the heart of God, and that when push comes to shove, we're willing to do whatever it takes, even personal sacrifices, in order to see those values move forward among a people. Let me give you an example of this. I formed an organization, gosh, it's almost 20 years ago, called Healing Care. And the purpose of the organization is to position people for healing in Christ. Our primary goal is to equip God's people to help broken people experience the depth of God's healing that's available to all of us through Jesus. Now, I could have run straight to methodology, but one of the things that I wanted to do and that was unfolding over the years is the establishing of certain values that we need to be committed to as we shape this ministry. And so we publish those values. Anybody that comes to one of our seminars can see the values listed in the beginning of their workbook. More importantly, when someone decides they want to serve as a caregiver or helper or prayer warrior at one of these events, I require that they're willing to say yes to these values. We can argue a little bit about what the values look like in practical application, but we're not going to argue about whether these values are important or not. I've come to think that not only organizations need values, individuals need values. And again, those values need to reflect the kingdom of God. So I thought I might share some of our values at Healing Care, and maybe that would stir your mind a little bit about values in your life that you're willing to invest in. Because the one word that I use when it comes to these values is non-negotiable. Oh, I might negotiate how we're going to fulfill the values, but I don't negotiate whether we're going to organize according to these values or not. That's a non-negotiable. We're going to do that. So, for example, the first value that a person would find listed in the Healing Care workbook that talks about what we're all about is the value under the phrase journey matters. I use the word matters in all of these. I kind of like that. I just got done titling a book, Identity Matters. I like the double entendre of all that, that it not only means that these things are important, but it's focusing on what is important about these issues. So one of the core values is the concept that journey matters. See, I believe that being a Christian is an ongoing process in which the Holy Spirit begins to empower us to live out of our true identity in Christ. I think journey is a perfect metaphor for that. The idea of movement, ups and downs, easy terrain, harder terrain, a different landscape along the way. And that our calling is to move forward on this, if you will, continuous journey, so that our internal and our external lives begin to reflect Jesus. See, journey matters. So I think it's important that we're not stagnant, that we don't, you know, get a little card for our pocket that says we're going to go to heaven, that we've answered the two questions about getting to heaven properly. I think it's much more important that we're able to understand that we're not walking a path. Actually, we're walking the path of Jesus, and we want to learn to walk that path the way Jesus walks the path. Very critical. I know you get that. And so the first thing that I established for myself and for this organization is journey matters. We've got to keep growing. That's one of the reasons I just got done with a little series on the upward, inward, and outward journey. The idea that there is movement, there is deep commitment. So I believe that someone should be able to look at my life, look at your life, and see where we're investing in the Christian journey to be empowered to live life the way Jesus would live it. And you are aware that if we say yes to that investment, there's going to be times when our commitment to that value is going to smack right up against some value that the world has. And so it's a very serious issue when we begin to talk about this issue of, issue of journey matters, a process. Now, you'll notice I didn't say destination matters, and there's a reason for that. Because I am positive that until we go to be with Jesus face to face, we will never arrive at our destination. So I can't be measured by the degree to which I have reached that destination. I'm only able to be evaluated according to the degree to which in Christ I'm able to continue to say yes to the ongoing process of being developed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Or a better way, I think, to say that is living out of who I really am in Christ. And I believe people should be able to look at that in my life and find ways in which I'm being committed to that journey. That's part of responsible discipleship. It's one of the reasons that people read their Bibles and pray and gather together with other Christians and go to church and serve in the world. They do all of that because it's a concrete expression of the value that journey matters. I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus. And if that's true, then I need to be deeply committed to that idea. Well, let me give you another one. This one kind of surprised people. But if you come to one of our seminars and you open the workbook to the values page, you're going to see that I emphasize that brokenness matters. That's right, brokenness matters. Boy, is that a value that goes contrary to what's often in the world. But see, it's a Jesus value. I mean, how can you follow Jesus and not understand that he says, "This is my body that is broken for you"? That in the body of Christ being broken, it serves all of us, enable us to be nourished in the life of the kingdom that Jesus made possible for us because he was willing to lay down his life. See, brokenness matters. I think every time we celebrate the Eucharist, which is one of my favorite times of the year, that when our pastors break that bread and then they pray the prayer for the consecration of the elements, that it's not just a reminder of what Jesus did for us, but it's a reminder of what we need to be willing to do for others. We need to be willing to be broken and poured out. Now, I'll tell you this, I don't think we get to decide what's that going to look like. I know I haven't. My only determination is whether or not I'm willing to say yes when I realize that that's something that the Lord is doing in my life. The other part of brokenness matters to me is that I think God cares about our brokenness. It matters to God. There's so many scriptures to that. It's hard to even argue against that point. You know, a tender reed I will not break, a bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick I will not put out. God has room for those that are contrite and broken in spirit. the whole idea of the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, that out of this brokenness, God somehow begins to meet us. I think we have to have an environment where we're able to be honest about our brokenness. Talk about places where we've not yet, if you will, been touched by the healing of Christ in those areas of brokenness. And then go on to use the very places of our brokenness as a place of healing for other people. I think that's what the whole notion of being a wounded healer is all about. That brokenness matters. Here's the good news for me. I mean, really, I look at my life, man, so many times in the ditch, so much brokenness, so many huge mistakes, and yet as I offer them to God, His grace fills them. And all of a sudden, the very thing I didn't even want to look at becomes the place where a person's richest ministry can begin to flow. That's not just true for me, it's true for you. Brokenness matters. God cares about that. He wants to heal that. Then He wants to use that very thing in order to bring healing to other people. Okay, now, if brokenness matters, which I believe it does, then we've got to invest in that. We've got to be willing to help other people deal with the issues of brokenness in their lives. Because it's not enough to have a little motto, duty, honor, country. No, these have to be values that we're willing to invest in, to take time to help other people move through, which then leads in healing care to the third of eight values, which is safety matters. I really believe that wounded people heal best among a community of Christ people that are committed to what I call the ministry of sanctuary. The ministry of sanctuary. People heal when they can find a place where there is not going to be judgment, there is not going to be condemnation, but instead, the wounded will be protected, especially protected from those who are so quick to want to judge and reject and harm. That's the nature of radical grace. And boy, if there's anything that is different about the kingdom of God than what's happening in our world today, it's this very issue. It seems that people are going out a way to pick out the flaws of other individuals and then to use those flaws as a way of playing can you top this? Climbing the ladder on other people's mistakes. Who would want to be open about the things they struggle with? I know, I'm not sure I would. But if we as a people can find a place where individuals are willing to actually invest in the non-negotiable value of safety, all of a sudden, places of shame will be turned into treasured inheritances. This is one reason I want to remind all of you of a ministry we have called Come Away With Me Retreats. It's actually now a ministry of Healing Care International. It's HCM International. It's a ministry where a small group of 12 broken folk can come receive care with highly skilled and highly anointed caregivers, highly equipped. And it's a safe environment where there's confidentiality and love and belief in the radical nature of God's grace. It's an intersection. An intersection of God's grace and our brokenness that all of a sudden translates in to deep healing. Are we willing to invest in a scandalous sacred space where people can really experience not only acceptance, but the healing power of Christ? As a matter of fact, here's the key to safety. What people experience with us should be a manifestation of what they would experience if they were with Jesus Himself. And one of the things you have to say about Jesus, He never beat anybody down. I was reading just this morning out of the Gospel of Luke, the story again of the sinful woman comes and she washes the feet of Jesus. And everybody's being critical of that. The Lord applauds it. He didn't bring up her sinful past. He even says to His host, I came here, you didn't give me water for my feet. She's not stopped giving me water through her tears and wiping my feet with her hair. What acceptance. And He could tell there was criticism, so He tells this story about what if somebody owed $50 and someone owed $500 and they were both forgiven, who would forgive most? And even his host said, I guess the one that's been forgiven the most. And that's what Jesus is saying about individuals that come to him that are broken. They're safe enough to come to him, the great physician. He will not condemn them. He will not judge them. And in the end, they will have even more gratitude for the Lord. That's why safety matters. Do you hear me? That's why safety matters. Okay, let me do one more here today, at least one more. And that would be one of the core values that this Ministry of Healing Care has been organized around that is a non-negotiable for me, is the notion that identity matters. Now, okay, I admit, I guess I'm pushing a book. I did write a book called Identity Matters on how to discover the unshakable certainty of who we are in Jesus Christ. But I do believe that is so, so important in a world that constantly tells us we don't measure up, how critical it is that we come to stand on the rock solid foundation of who we are in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. A long, long time ago, not in a place far, far away, my grandfather ran heavy equipment. He had a bulldozer, and often he would dig out foundations. Now, my grandfather wasn't a moral man. As a matter of fact, he was anything but. And there are some things he did to me that were really quite wrong and damaging. But one day, he was digging out a foundation, and all the neighborhood people were watching. I was 4 years old. And all of a sudden, he told my dad to bring me up on that bulldozer, and I sat on his lap. And there I was, grabbing hold of the leather grips, acting like I was moving those tracks back and forth as he continued to dig. Of course, his hands were much lower, and he was determining where the bulldozer really went. But you know what? From that early time, I began to love heavy equipment, and I loved the smell of diesel fuel and dirt. And I always had this desire that I myself could, run heavy equipment. And then a number of years ago, I had the opportunity through a friend in California to actually learn how. I learned how to run bulldozers and front-end loaders and backhoes and things like that. It was great. And what I love most about it is it kind of took me back to the tradition of my grandfather. My father did the same thing. My dad ran a steam shovel for a long time, had a steam shovel. Now, I began to think just the other day, you know, I'm still in the job of digging out foundations. I just didn't understand it. I'm here to be used of the Lord to dig down in people's lives to help them find the rock solid base of who they are in Christ and to learn that because of Jesus, they're the children of God. And that they didn't have to earn it. It was given to them by faith. It was an act of grace. And boy, when we get there, everything begins to change. We're no longer trying to measure up in order to meet the core longings of our lives, but we find that our core longings are met in Jesus, and we're able to rest more secure in that. We don't have to perform anymore to be loved or accepted or significant, but instead we find that that is true of us because of who we are in Jesus. That's why identity matters as a core value for Healing Care. So I'd like to suggest that maybe that would be a great core value for you. Learn more about identity. Invest more in identity. Learn who you are in Christ. Treat other people the way you should because of who they are in Christ. So we're going to end there for today, but I want to ask you the basic question. What are those non-negotiable commitments in your life that you're willing to rally around that are part of your code, if you will, that you invest in? So I've shared four. I'll share four more the next time. For me, journey matters. The idea that this is a long obedience in the same direction, empowered by Christ. Brokenness matters. Jesus meets us in our mess and then turns our mess into a place of ministry. Safety matters. A context where the scandalous grace of Jesus is experienced in our lives. And most certainly, identity matters. Okay, I admit it. If you get a chance, I'd love you to read my book. Don't forget, we've got events coming up soon. There's a seminar coming up in March, first week of March, called The Essentials, How to Position People for Transformation. Hope you're able to come if that's something you're interested in. And then from there, we begin a whole series of seminars, at least two a month, all over. May God bless you today. And may your foundation be secure, because it's on the rock solid base of Jesus Christ. God bless you.